Good, Baruch Hashem. I'm very excited to be here at Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
Okay, that's it. Doors are closed, phones are ready. Mishmar starts right
now. Perfect timing. Okay, Mishmar starts right now. You know what Mishmar means in Chumash?
You have like
jail. It means jail. Right, we're staying for Mishmar. We're staying in jail. All
right.
Fine, Tov.
Wait, so what's like? What does it actually mean?
Mishmar means a jail.
Well, like in this context.
Means, you know, Torah Lishma. That's what it means around here.
You're in jail
while you're little Torah Lishma.
Mishmar isn't even Torah Lishma anymore.
Ah, friends, this is Lishma. I'm doing this Lishma. Here we go. Does anybody recognize this holy, holy Jew on the... If you come in here, you can grab it. Who is this a picture of? No. Who is this a picture of? Shalom, welcome. This is known as... Reb Menachem Mendel of Lubavitch, the Tzemach Tzedek. He was the third Lubavitch Rebbe, born on Erev Rosh Hashanah 1789, passed away in 1866. He was orphaned at the age of 3. Do you mind just closing the door to get the noise?
Thank you.
That's fine. And he was raised by his grandfather, who was the first Lubavitch Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe. So one time, little Mendel's sitting on his grandfather's lap, and he's pulling on the beard, right? And he says, Zaidi, you heard the story? How's it go?
He said, like, it's the part that, like, I think he falls on his face and he starts crying.
Ah, okay, good, you hear the story. Okay. So he says, Zaidi. He goes, no, that's not Zaidi. That's Zaidi's beard. Where's Zaidi? So he goes like this. Because that's not Zaidi, that's Zaidi's face. So he starts touching his ears. He goes, that's not Zaidi, that's Zaidi's, you know, every part of the body. That's his ears, that's his arm, that's his leg. Where is Zaidi? So the kid goes off and he goes and he falls. That's unclear whether he fell on purpose or he like did something like that. And he goes, ah, Zaidi! Runs over to him and goes, that's Zaidi. That's who Zaidi. That's where Zaidi is when you run for something like that. So I think it's a beautiful story. But if you think about it for a minute, you know, we look at, today was Grandparents' Day here, right? Didn't you guys have your grandparents come learn?
They're in Israel.
Okay, good. Look, between me and you, don't take it personally. I'd rather be in Israel than in Frisch, but you know, don't take it personal. So, okay, if your grandparents weren't here at first, they're in Israel, I understand. But we look at the language of our grandparents, great-grandparents, and we think like, oh, I don't necessarily look like them. I don't necessarily talk like them. If you think, imagine if we could somehow get pictures of what our ancestors looked like 100, 200 years ago. You know, with a beard, without a beard. Like, I don't, like, you come from Bells, right? You have a chas... No?
No.
The Bells of Rebbe stayed by you.
What happened was the Bells of Rebbe's house.
That's a yichus. That's a yichus.
That's
a yichus. If I had more time, with you, again, we're running. I'm running against the clock already. I would play for you a song by the band Eighth Day. You know, Yalla Yalla Lili? Not that one. I play for you a different one. I'd play you a different one. It's called Avraham. Look at the lyrics here. Sitting in a hot desert sun, you've been told you'd be on the run. Down to Egypt, to Pharaoh's town, to Rome, to Spain, and their lands. But you open your doors to tired men, to lonely passerbys and angels from heaven. Your kindness and your care were known far and wide. The father of the nation, your soul is alive. Look at this next line. Avraham, are we the children that you dreamed of? Are we the shining stars you saw at night? What if Avraham could kind of like time travel? And come to a mishmar, a yeshivat frish. And he was like just walking to room 6 because he heard, you know, I'm giving mishmar and he wants to hear what I'm talking about. I say, Avraham, I'm talking about you. He said, wow, would he recognize us? Look at this line. Are we the children that you dreamed of? Are we the shining stars you saw at night? That is the connection of Pesach. Go back for a second to the first source. You'll see, I can flip around a little bit. It's in the Tur. Tur was the son of the Rosh. He was a super, super genius. In his commentary on the Torah called Baal HaTurim, you guys in your Chumash class ever learned the Baal HaTurim? We talk about artificial intelligence. He had real intelligence. He could go through and tell you how many times this word appears in Tanakh. And then make connections between why this word only appears 3 times on all of Tanakh and what the like thematic connections are. See, he went through. Look on the second line. Shemati mechiyari, tam davar, modim nitul keneged avos. Each one of the 3 Yomim Tovim we have corresponds to one of our 3 ancestors. Pesach is Keneged Avraham, right? Shavuos is Yitzchak. Ah, Shalom. Welcome, Gil. There's close the door so we'll get noise from the hallway. Sukkot is Keneged. Who? We did Avraham Yitzchak and? Yaakov. Although probably back in the day, he went by the name Yaakov. Probably back in the day. So if Pesach is Avraham, turn, let's do a few more sources. I got some amazing stories I want to share with you. The idea about all these connections with Avraham. Look at the next source, Avos Rebbe Nosson. Asar Nisyonos Nisno Avraham Avinu. We know this. Pirkei Avos told us already that Avraham Avinu had 10 tests, goes through all of them. Skipping a little bit because I want to cover all the ground. Keneged the third paragraph. Keneged Asar Nisyonos Nisnasu Avraham Avinu Bechulam Nimtza Shalem. He passed all of them. Kenegdan, according to these 10 trials, 10 tests that Avram had, also Kodesh Baruch Hu Asara Nisim Levanov B'Mitzrayim. So every one of the 10 tests that Avram went through, right, you have a whole list of here with Yishmael and with Hagar and with the Bris and with getting Akeda, all these things. Those 10 led to us getting the 10 Nisim in Mitzrayim. Kenegdan Hevi Eser Makos, the 10 punishments, the 10 plagues, the 10 smacks that the Mitzrayim got, corresponding to the 10 tests. Kenegda Nasu Yisrael Asar Nisim Al Hayam. We had 10 miracles happen to us by the Yamsuf. Kenegda Hevi Eser Makos Al Mitzrayim B'Yam. 10 more Makos came to them. So it was all these Pus names. But there's connections, thematic connections, linguistic connections between Pesach and Avraham. Avraham is the first time the word Emuna is written in the Torah. Reb Tzadok, the Vilna Gaon, and others teach us, if you want to know what the word really means, you look the first time it appears in the Torah. And if you look there, that's the root of it. Like, for example, you guys heard the Medrash when Moshe Rabbeinu was born? It's like more in Sota. Rashi goes, what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was born?
The light
filled up the whole house. Ki tov. Full flex. Oops, don't drop your phone, but a full flex. Because it says tov by Moshe, and the first time the word tov is talking about light. In Sheshes Mebrachos, it says tov there. So if I look at the first time the word's mentioned, that's what it means. Now I can figure out every time it says that throughout the Chumash. The first time the word Emuna is by Avram, he's the root of our Emuna. The fact that you and I believe in Hashem is because Avram gave it to us as a spiritual DNA. Animals, Lahavdil, also have instincts. A beaver just knows automatically how to build a dam, doesn't have to go to school. Spiders can spin webs, right? We'll make a dad joke. AP web design. Dad joke. You like it? Not so bad. Judah.
It was good.
You don't get it?
Spiders,
web design, APM. Yeah, all right. That's okay. Big friends, it's late in the day. You know, I'll take what I can get. I'll take what I can get. So we, just like an animal, the birds, you can hear the birds chirping. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The birds are returning back from all these nigunim that they picked up when they were down south in Florida. They're coming back. They have these migration patterns. They know what they're doing. It's instinct. So we also... right? We also have instinct from that comes to us from Avraham Avinu. So we ask the question, are we the children that you dreamed of? The answer is yes. Now the Gemara tells us that Hashem does all the mitzvahs that we do. I don't know what type of matzah Hashem is going to eat this night at his Seder, but when we eat matzah, Hashem does that mitzvah. Matzah is the food of Emuna. We put on tefillin, and Hashem puts on tefillin. Any ninth graders here learning brachos this year? No. Gil's 10th grade? No! Yeah. Did you do the Gemara in the beginning about Hashem wearing tefillin? You ever heard this?
Hashem wears rubbing
your tongue. Right? Okay. Chassidish, not chassidish. I don't know. Double knot, single knot. I don't know how many. Lemaisa, the Gemara tells what's written in Hashem's tefillin. Because more, let's all go back. The background behind it is Moshe asks Hashem, please, let me see your face. Says Hashem, you can't see my face, you go see my back. What did he see? It's like he saw the Kesher Shel Tefillin. The knot, right? So I know what's written in our Tefillin, new? Rosa, what's written? Shema. Hashem, you are one, you're unique, you're special, you're amazing. Look what it says in the next source. Dun, da, 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 turn the page. Pasuk from Divar Hayamim Aleph, Perak Yud Zayin Chaf Aleph. Umi ka'amcha Yisroel, goy echad ba'aretz. That's what's written in Hashem's tefillin. So in Prague, there are many famous shuls. Probably the most famous is called the Altnoy, which means the old new shul. 700 years. It has the record for the longest continuous usage. Over 700 years it's been a thing. But that can't compare to a shul that was recently discovered a few years ago in Terezin. It's about an hour north of Prague, and it's a town that's infamous. My daughter this year is in Eretz Yisrael, and her seminary, they would trip to Poland. You guys have like older sisters or boys? Your brother's doing it now? Yeah. So I didn't speak. I spoke. She called me from the airport. Like, she doesn't have phone service in Poland, but she told me, like, they go and they visit this. So one of these towns where they went to visit was a which was used was the thing. They found in this place, in this city, in the death camp, a small room. It was 12 by 15 feet that was used originally to store potatoes. Jews used to secretly hide there, risking their lives, risking getting tortured to daven. And they found, you could see the faded Hebrew writings. They put on this 12 by 15 room, low ceiling with the potatoes, but they used to make that was like their secret shul. You heard about this?
No, I heard about a different shul that was like low in the ground.
This is an, and this is close to Prague. This is an hour north of Prague. So the Pesuk can say, it says, like they took a pasuk from the Gemara, Da lifnei mi'ata omeid. You should know before whom you're standing. On another wall, they have a pasuk from Shmona Esrei, V'sechezena einein b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, that our eyes behold your return to Tzion in compassion. But if you look at the next line, look on your source sheet. This is from Tachanun. Look at what the Klal Yisrael wrote on this wall of their secret shul. V'chol zos shimcha lo shachachnu na al tishkachenu. Despite everything we've gone through, the death and destruction, despite the incredible cruelty that was put upon us, despite all this, we haven't forgotten you, Hashem. Please don't forget us. That's what it means when Avraham Avinu says, are we the children that you dreamed of? He saw that. I'm telling you, Chever, he saw that small room. He saw that Mesiras Nefesh of Jews in a 12 by 15 room in a death camp sneaking away to daven to him. So, you see the picture, right? I'm going to tell you the background. That's a picture of a girl. She was 12 years old. Name was Elisheva Cohen. That was with Surfside, Florida. June 24th, 2021. Dr. Brad Cohen, was Elisheva's father, was one of the people who was missing under the rubble, along with his brother, Dr. Gary Cohen. And for days, the families were kept away from the collapse. It was unsafe. And relatives were taken there briefly. Heartbreaking scenes of people shouting out the names of their beloved ones, trying maybe get a reaction. People were crying. This 12-year-old girl, Elisheva Cohen, moved away from her relatives who were there. She sat by herself. She took out a Tehillim. And the mayor, one second, I have his name written here, Charles Burkett. He kneels down beside her and asks if you're okay. She says, yes. Listen to his quote. And that really brought it home to me. She wasn't crying. She was just lost. She didn't know what to do, what to say, who to talk to, so she cried to God. She became a symbol of faith, for the whole world was inspired by this little girl. And the mayor came and told President Biden when he came, and he asked to see her. When President Biden came to visit the site, I wanted him to know and see the face of that little girl who's praying for her father across from the rubble. Biden looked at me and said, would you be able to bring her to me right now? The police went to get Elisheva. Biden walked up to her and they hugged for a long time. So Avraham, that emunah that he gave us, even in the most darkest, most difficult times, the idea of Pesach is Avraham is connecting to Avraham, connecting to that emunah and connecting to the Klal Yisrael. So let's talk a little bit more. I have a quote here from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. May, remember he came to speak during Seris Mechuva, right? Yeah. And he was singing the Kol Nidre. Right? That was amazing, right? Okay. May 2021, Hamas sent 5,000 rockets from Gaza to Israel with the ambition to flatten homes, neighborhoods, and cities and kill thousands, God forbid. Astoundingly, the hostility towards Israel around the world and in social media was toxic and scary. Celebrities who know about Israel less than I know about the elephant population in Vietnam, we're busy condemning a country trying to defend its residents against 5,000 deadly rockets. During that time, there was a Jewish soccer player. Turn to the next page. Tomer Chemed. He scored two goals for his New Zealand. His team was called the Wellington Phoenix, and it was one of the top match. And there's a whole move he made with Atlez. He gets past the defender. He scores the goal to tie it up. This is a picture, but if you see the actual clip, he reaches down. He has the yarmulke. He has the keeper in his jersey. He wasn't playing with it. He pulls it out, puts on the yarmulke, says Shema Yisrael. He scored a different goal. He wrapped himself in the Israeli flag. When everyone else in the world, this went viral on social media, if you guys remember this. Everyone else in the world was doing, while they're sending the rockets and everything, Avraham Avinu looks at Elisheva Cohen. Avraham Avinu looks at a Tomer Chemed. And he's so proud of the Amunah that's still with our youth today, with you guys. We could put pictures of you guys on this source sheet, the Amunah that you have. So, who's underneath him? Look closely before you answer. Who's underneath him? I got 5 minutes left. I'm going to use it. Who's underneath the soccer player? What?
I recognize. That's the religious
MLB. That's the religious MLB player. We got two of them.
No, it's two. It's not Steinman.
It's not Steinman. Ellie Kligman.
Yeah,
Ellie Kligman, right? By the way, someone showed me today, TikTok, they have like a video of him where they announce it. He's like on the phone. All his friends from Hafter are there. And they show the video when he's announced that he made the MLB. The guy's like, oh, wow. It's like, it's a very, very powerful thing. So I want to say, I'm not going to play on Shabbos. Like, isn't this like every kid's dream to make it professional? He says, I'm not going to play on Shabbos. All right. Any here's baseball fans? What's that?
Sandy Koufax.
He would play, but on Yom Kippur. Right. By the way, you know what Lubavitcher did the very next day? He went to Sandy Koufax's hotel room with a pair of tefillin. And he said, but I'm a lefty. He says, I knew that. That's why I brought one for you. Like, he did everything, right? He went to the front desk in the hotel. St. Paul, I think, was where the game was. And he went and said, I'm his rabbi. They let him up to the room. He went there. He put tefillin on Sandy Koufax the next day after Yom Kippur. Right? I want to read you something interesting. Sammy Bone, Phil Coney were born as Cohen. Harry Kane, Ruben Ewing, Jesse Baker was more Michael Silverman. Henry Lifshitz became Henry Bostic. Joe Rosenblum became Joe Bennett. James Herman Saul became Jimmy Reese. There must have been at least 50 Jews playing baseball. We don't know their real names. In the early days in the 20th century, the Jewish boys had tough sledding in the majors and they changed their names. Right? Okay, Hank Greenberg, right? Hall of Famer for the Tigers. He kept his name, right? We have about Sandy Koufax, right? The 65 things. So these guys are not changing their names, and they're proud with it. Turn to the last page. Last page for the last story. August 11th, 2021. In Brooklyn, there was a very heart-stopping news. A little six-year-old boy, Yosef Shapiro, went missing. His camp took a trip, and he didn't get back on the bus home. They missed it, and they had no idea where this kid was. And they made like a, you know, this kid lost in the park. You know, it's near the beach, and everybody went out. So one of the people went to them was a 56-year-old man named Victor Schein, and he said, you know, I heard about the call, and I thought about like, what can I do? I'm just one person. But then I thought, you know what? I have a grandson that exact same age. Wouldn't I also want everybody out there? So he says he put on a white shirt that would show up in, it wasn't yet dark, got into his car, goes to the command center, and there's hundreds of people, total strangers, came out to help. And he was going around, and he was calling out, Yosef! That's the kid saying, Yosef, we got ice cream, we got pizza! And he was just calling out, no answer. Then it started to rain. And he thought, look, I'm afraid for my own health. I'd be out here. And then he saw like a dirt path that he hadn't yet seen. So he turned off and he's calling out, Yosef, Yosef. And he hears a very faint cry. Ta. You know what ta means? Tati. Tati is Yiddish for daddy, right? And he heard it and then it went quiet. So he called the command guy is from the NYPD, Richie Taylor. He was leading the search. 15 minutes later, all the ATVs come. They searched the area and they found this kid on the floor, terrified. Clothed, but healthy. They brought him home, and this is a picture of Yosef. What's his name? Yosef Shapiro, reunited with his father. And this story is like a microcosm of the Jewish people. We've gotten lost, but we never forgot how to call out and say ta. to say Abba, to say Daddy. The one who gives us that strength is Avraham Avinu. The way we connect to our Emunah is on all the days of Pesach, but certainly by the Seder, certainly on the days of Yom Tov itself. So I'm happy to come give a Mishmar and to share some ideas. And one possible takeaway from this is to strengthen ourselves in our Emunah and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shkoyach, everybody. Thank you so much for coming.